We have been looking at the topic, overcoming the enemy, for the last couple of weeks, and I was assigned the battle for the heart. Now, today is Valentine's Day, and it's filled with thoughts and talk of love. Now, some of us are going to be celebrating the gift of love found in our marriages today. Some of us will be out at Chinese buffet. You're all welcome to come and be a part of that when we eat this afternoon at 4. But those who are in love all have a reason to celebrate. Now, unfortunately, the love that accompanies Valentine's Day will end up with a victory for some of us and in defeat for others of us. For our desire for romance will cause, and has caused some of us already, to open the door for the enemy to come into our lives. You know that little red fellow with the bow and arrow shooting arrows by the name of Cupid? He does just as much trouble getting folks in trouble as the little red fellow with the pitchfork and the horns on Valentine's Day and Valentine's Day weekend. Now, how many of you know that love will cause you to lose your mind? Some of you lost it then and have not yet found it yet. How many of you know love will cause you to see some things that just are not there? Somebody tell you, oh, he sold this, he sold that, she sold this, she sold that. And you look at it, I just can't see it. Love will take even a bright, intelligent person and cause them to make some of the dumbest decisions you ever seen anyone make. You say, how many degrees you got and you did what? How many of you know it's not necessarily a good thing when somebody tells you, child, you just too in love? I want us to know that love is one of the tactics that Satan uses to destroy our lives. For Satan knows that if he can get our hearts attached to the wrong thing, he does not have to worry about us growing in our relationship to God. You see, Satan does not mind us loving God so long as we love something else just a little bit more. The real battleground for our spiritual well-being takes place in the heart. Proverbs 4:22 says, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Notice, it did not say, here's one more thing to think about. It said, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. What we love determines how we behave. I've seen people in the church try to get serious about following God, and because they didn't take this verse seriously about guarding their heart, Satan sent someone who walked into the church to look just a little bit of good. Their heart seized on that person, and when they walked out the church, the person in the church walked right back out with them, never to be seen of again. Now, in the Old Testament, people worshiped idols. We don't do that today, do we? Idols were things that people looked to get an edge in life. People felt, if I just give myself to this, in the long run, it's going to help me get ahead or help me get something in life I really want. An idol was like having a little god in your back pocket that you could reach in there and pull him out when you needed him to get you through something. Idols will steal our hearts, and we grow dependent upon them, and we start thinking we cannot live without them. We come to think of them as just being a normal, every part of our lives. But God sees an idol for what it truly is. An idol is anything that causes us to push God out of number one spot to number two, number three, number 10, number 15, number whatever. The first of the Ten Commandments says, and it's broken most often, you shall have no other gods before me. An idol is another god. it has a greater claim of our affection than God does. Now, even though we may not be aware of it, everyone here today who is a believer struggles with some idol in your heart. There is always something trying to attract our heart's attention. Did any of you this week feel something yelling at you, try this, try this, try this? Any of you felt that pull towards your heart? Okay, the rest of y'all was sleep, dead, or in a coma. Sometimes we even make an idol of ourselves. You ever hear somebody say, I don't care what nobody says, I'm going to do what I want to do. Have you ever said that, little God? Well, you have. Well, I'm sure you knew somebody who might have. You see, God created us to love and to worship, which means everybody in here loves something, and everybody in here worships something. Satan comes along and he takes our natural desire to love and to worship and turn it into something that can destroy us by getting us to love and to worship the wrong things. The human heart has an incredible ability to create all kinds of things to worship or to compete against God for our love. Now think of how many different things people are willing to risk their lives for just to be able to say they did it. Now, I cannot see myself risking my life to climb Mount Everest when there is a picture already that will show me what I'm going to see when I get to the top. I just cannot see me trying to do it. But the person who climbs Mount Everest is considered a hero for risking their life, but I am considered a fool for giving my life to the cause of Christ. Now, there are at least seven idols that keep coming up in American culture that I saw identified by John Ortberg. And these are idols that challenge our hearts on a rotating basis. You might want to pay attention in case somebody you know might be doing some of these things. Now, the first idol in American society, I think we all can agree on. It is money. Now, money is a good thing. And if you think money is a bad thing, see me after service and bring your money with you. And I will alleviate you of that bad thing in your life. It is also to have a good thing to have more money than what you need. Because if you don't, you can't be a blessing to anybody else. There comes a point, though, when if we do not know contentment and discipline in our heart, the desire for money turns into greed. And greed turns into the goddess of money. And once we offer our love and our devotion, this goddess will take over our hearts, and our hearts will be filled to do all kinds of evil because we're going to love it so much we just want to get some more and some more and some more and some more. The Bible says, whoever loves money will never have enough. Guy who had just made his first $1 million, they said, well, what do you want to do now? He said, make another one. Some people will do anything to have more of it. Love for God, love for people, lost. Because life becomes consumed with, how many more Benjamins can I get? The second idol is success. Now, who does not want to be successful? But we can come to love and worship success. When we will backstab people, when we will lie, when we will cheat in order to get our position or hold on to keep our position, we have started worshiping the God of success. We basically say, I will destroy you to get to where I want to get to. The third idol is a little bit more hard to see, but it's the idol of intelligence. You ever see parents who you haven't talked to them for more than 3 minutes before they tell you, oh, my child skipped fourth grade and looks like they'll be skipping sixth grade, and or somebody tells you, well, you know, I got accepted at Ohio State, but I turned down Harvard, Yale, and they just go on about this God of intelligence. You know, at college graduations, they give us diplomas in Latin that we can't read, don't have the faintest idea what they say. But boy, when we look at it, make us feel like we were somebody. And we look and we see that our child or our family member graduated cumma summa lottie dottie. And we don't know what it means, but by George, they did it. Look at it, cumma summa. Can't even hardly say what it was. But we worship this goddess of intelligence. The fourth idol is attraction or beauty. Now, everybody ought to want to look nice, but there is something wrong when you just gotta look perfect. If you're in the bathroom for 45 minutes, you're crossing the line. When we spending all our time, our money, even going through physical pain with all these different surgeries, trying to look good, we need to ask ourselves, when is enough enough? I'm gonna let y'all in on a secret. We are all going to get older. There is an alternative, though. You can die young. Most of us don't choose that option, but it is there. How many of you know the best way to look good when you are older is to live right when you are younger? You go to your 30th high school reunion, you can immediately tell who's been living for the Lord since graduation and who hasn't. You see so-and-so coming who, oh, they was fly in the high school days, but now you like, thank God I didn't marry them. You want to look good when you all live right today. Them drugs, them alcohol, and then you mad because the person who lived right looking good, she don't look all that good to me. I don't know who she is. The fifth idol is relationships. It is very easy to give another person a place in your life that belongs to God. The approval or the acceptance of that other person means more to you than being in a right relationship with God. I don't care if it ain't right. I think, what's his name? Was it Al Green? If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Yeah, that'll slip you right into hell. That person or that relationship has become an idol. You're actually loving it and worshiping it because it means more to you than God does, and God is not in control of your life. The sixth idol is pleasure. Now, God created us with the ability to enjoy the sensations of pleasure, but an unguarded heart will seek pleasure from both legitimate and illegitimate sources. How many of you know just because it feels good does not mean it's good for you? Now, if we could send some marijuana fumes through here and take out the smell and y'all start smelling it in, y'all be going out here, I don't know what Pastor Rick preached, but boy, was it good. Woo! The sermon, it might have felt good, but it wasn't good for you. I assume cocaine must make people feel real good because they keep doing it. But it's not good for you. You see, we can lift pleasure to such a degree that life becomes all about how we feel. And we neglect all our other responsibilities so that we can have that feeling one more time. Or even we try to plan a life of pleasure. Well, when I retire, I'm going to travel all the time and I'm going to play golf and play bridge. What if God has other plans for your life? What if God wants you to go into ministry full time when you retire? Are you open to that, or if your pleasure means more to me than God? The seventh idol is work. Some of y'all already said, I know that ain't my problem. I know that is not my problem. Can't even get you to work. God created us to work. But God did not create us for work to consume our lives. Trying to get ahead in the company or in life causes us to turn work into an idol. We love it, we worship it, with hopes that in return it's going to offer us a certain lifestyle. Our love and worship of work causes us to miss opportunities to have an impact in the lives of those who are closest to us. How many of you know the work we love will not be there to comfort us on the other end of life? When we realize we are rich in work and poor with relationships. There we are sitting in the nursing home, rocking in our chair, holding on to our gold watch. They gave me this at work. They gave me this at work. That ain't what you want. You're going to want some people coming to talk to you, to see you. But if all you did was work, all you got is your gold watch. Now, I already know that this is probably my idol. I am a workaholic. And see, the devil can really get me with this one because I'm doing stuff for the Lord. You know, I'm working for the Lord. Surely God is pleased. God is saying, if you don't get home and wash some dishes or something. Praise God. See, there are some things I say when Pastor Toby not here. And I know one of y'all going to run up to as soon as she walk in the door. Pastor Rick needs to come home and wash dishes, my office. Now I want you to look over this list and see which one is Satan most likely to use in the battle for your heart. Which of these seven things get most of your thought time? You already know. You think about him 24/7. Which one do you feel of these seven you just gotta have and you can't have live without it? Which one do you feel like, my life just wouldn't be worth living if I didn't have this? Which one of these seven do you want to be known for? Which one gets your greatest effort? Which one makes you feel like you're somebody? And if you're still having problems, which one would other people say is your idol? Some of y'all think they never come out of the bathroom. I can tell you what it is right now. Why do we pursue idols? We pursue idols because we think they are going to give us life. But it is Jesus in John 10:10 that says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full or have it abundantly. These seven tools, or seven idols, are Satan's tools in the battle for our hearts. They all end up with the same consequence, which is to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. Now, what are the costs of not guarding our hearts and yielding to idols? The first cost is, idols cost us God's purpose for our lives. Now, you only get one life to live. If by chance fall out in church of a heart attack and you die on the spot, and the Holy Ghost just happened to be up on me and I lay hands on you and you get up there, I wouldn't count on it, but that's about the only way you're going to get two times to live. 99.99%, we only get one time to live. And we are either going to live our lives with God in control, or God sitting in the back seat, or God sitting outside the car because we kicked him out altogether. But God had a plan in mind when he created each of us. And Jesus tells us if we live God's plan, we will really get life. But each of these seven idols will rob us of the opportunity to live our lives with God's purpose being first and foremost. Why? Because they demand our attention. Even the slightest compromise can cause us to end up way off course the further out you go. You know, if you were planning a trip to the moon and you got all your calculations together and starting here on Earth, you was just one inch over too far. How many of you know you going somewhere, but you ain't going to the moon? Big as that thing is, by the time you get to where you thought it was going to be, it would have long since been gone. Or if you look at a map and you draw a straight line between here and San Francisco and it's right on target, but somebody move your pencil just a little bit too far and you start walking, you're going to be walking, but you ain't going to San Francisco. You are going to head up somewhere northwest of Mexico in the Pacific Ocean. All because you was off just a little bit when you started. The second cost of not guarding our hearts from idols is that idols will exhaust us. Say exhaust. Exhaust us as we strive to get more. Because how do you know you got enough? How much money do you need to retire? How good looking do you have to be to get her to notice you? No matter how good you look, he may already got his mind on somebody else. How smart do you really have to be? How much work is enough? Idols will exhaust us. Now, we are never going to reach perfection that idols demand. Time and our bodies are going to work against us. All of y'all that are you in your 20s and you in your 30s and you just think you can make your body do anything you want to be anytime, just keep on living. All of a sudden you start hearing creaks and knocks and you didn't even know what you had. What was that? You just be laying in the bed minding your own business. Something out of nowhere hit you. My wife, she'd be looking at me like a hawk in the bed, and all of a sudden she see this pain come across my face. Oh, what was that? It's all right, I just called this now. Just keep on living. Now, last week, we had the great worship festival that we as Americans bow down to annually. It's called what? The Super Bowl, where we worship teams. Now, I don't know if you were cheering for the Saints or the Colts, but the Saints won. And you know what? Well, we know who she was cheering for. The Saints won. But you know what? Already, they got to prove themselves all over again. Now, last week they said they're battling to be the champions of the world for 6 months. Some of those players that was on that team, they're going to be cut by September. Is that going to make them any less of a person? It will if football is their idol. Those who return to the team, they are going to exhaust themselves trying to get back to the Super Bowl next year. And already, they are going to be hearing comments like, well, they might have won the Super Bowl, but they're not like the 49ers or the Steelers who kept coming back year after year after year. So even though they won, If they don't come back next year, hey, really, wasn't it? You know what? No matter what top you climb up to, it's only temporary. You will be coming back down. That's why it's always nice to be nice to the people you passing on the way you going up. Because when you coming back down, they may be going in the other direction. People have very short memories. Before you dedicate yourself to something, I guarantee y'all, 5 years after we gone, somebody's going to say, what was that fella named married to Pastor Toby? Who was he? Some of y'all, I don't know what his name is. The third cost of not guarding your hearts is that idols will cost us what we need. When our hearts have a love and devotion for an idol, it will cause us to do some crazy, insane things. I remember a counseling session I was having with a couple. And the guy, he had all kind of financial plans. And he said, right there in the session, when my marriage is keeping me from reaching my goals at work, then it's time to let the marriage go. That's what he said. And he let the marriage go. He got married again, and he let that marriage go too. Because he had goals to reach for his retirement. Before his 55th birthday, he had a massive heart attack and died. How much money did he need for retirement? Not a cent. Never reached it. I'm not saying don't plan for the future. I'm saying be balanced in your approach to life because you don't know what is coming. Idols have the power of making you throw away your life to serve. Idols have a way of making us face our final years with a lot of regrets. If only I had known. If only I had not been so short-sighted. If only I had taken the time. If only I hadn't been so mean. If only I hadn't been so self-centered. If only I had thought about somebody besides myself. Idols leave us with a lot of regrets. And the best time to stop a regret from happening is to change your behavior today. Today is the time to start guarding your heart to keep from putting God out of the driver's seat in your life. As I told you, Satan wants to use love to turn your hearts away from God. Now, today is Valentine's Day, and I think women become more open to Satan's lies and suggestions this day because everybody is supposed to be romantic and in love. And you ladies know how y'all are. Even that dude you wouldn't even think of talking to yesterday, if he come with that box of chocolates today, well, you'll take the chocolate today and get rid of him by tomorrow. Satan uses some of us to trigger wrong emotions in others. Now, why do we go up to a single Christian woman and say, what? You don't have any children yet? Don't you know time is passing you by? And Satan starts whispering to her, no, you're running out of eggs. You better do something quick. You better do something quick. Better hurry up and do something. You single women with no children, do you know how many women would love to be in your shoes? To be able to make decisions for their lives without having to worry about Johnny Jr., Susie Jr., Mary Jr. They can just, God, you want me to go to San Francisco? I'm on my way. God, you want me to go get this doctorate? I'm on my way. You can't do that when you're trying to please other people. Somebody say to you, child, you ain't married yet. Woo! You ain't got too many good years left. Satan start telling you, you ain't got too many good years left. He ain't too good, but he ain't too bad either. You better get something before you get nothing. You don't want to end up by yourself. Oh, babe. Quit telling people that. You see, it is so, some folks, they go and marry somebody because they thought this was my last chance. Let me tell you this. Marriage can be an absolutely wonderful experience. If you got two people who recognize I am selfish, and if Jesus don't help me, I'm going to destroy me and this other person. So you need two people who are willing to submit themselves to Christ, and you will have a good relationship. But if you go and marry some fool, just because you thought the clock was running out, you know what's going to happen? You're walking backwards. Because 2 years from now, you got to realize, I was the biggest fool in the world for marrying this fool in the first place. And then when you spend all that money for the divorce, and you got all that emotional pain that you done suffered, and you got two little kids now that you got to take care of by yourself, you would have been better off saying, Satan, if I walked into heaven single and I have done what God told me to do, I know my life is all that it can be. Romantic love can be a wonderful thing, and marriage can be a wonderful thing. I love being married. I wouldn't have it any other way. But unless you are willing to really humble yourself, marriage is not for you. I'm married to what I believe is the most wonderful woman in the world. And I cause that lady more headaches than you could just dream to imagine. As another sister said, I ain't alone. And there's probably a bunch of brothers that'll say, yeah, I feel you. It's work. It can be good, but it's work. And if you just grabbing somebody because you thought time was running out, let the clock run. Let the clock run. You see, it was romantic love that got Samson in trouble. For those of you who don't know, Samson was the strongest man in the Bible, strongest man in the world. He made Hercules look bad, and Samson was a real person. But Samson had a problem. He found it easy to fall in love. The brother never found somebody he couldn't fall in love with. He walking down the street one day, he saw the Lord. He told him, get that one over there for me. He didn't even know what her name was. And his parents, don't you think you ought to think about it? No, I want that one. 2 years later, I got another one over here I want. He fell in love with Delilah. Now, you know somebody named Delilah. Woo, woo, woo. Little did he know Delilah was Satan's trap to destroy his life. Don't let romance cause you to yield yourself to Satan. Another love that we can have that Satan uses can be the love we have for our children. Satan uses this in the battle of our hearts. You know, we can give our children so much that they think they are entitled to everything. You know, those of us who came up with little stuff, the worst decision we sometimes make is, I'm going to make sure my children have everything I didn't have. And we are killing ourselves backwards and forward to make sure they have it. And then when they get 18, they want to know, when are we going to drop off the Mercedes? What do you mean, when are we going to? What? You're not going to do this for me? You see, because we as parents, we don't go through and say, I'm sacrificing in order to get you this. I'm sacrificing in order to get you this. I'm doing without in order to get you this. They just assume we just had it coming in, left and right, going back and forth, and don't know how to stop. It's amazing how many of them will tell you when they get 18, but I'm grown now. Let the groceries run out. Let the rent get behind 1 month. Mama! Daddy! Let me keep going. Brother over here want to change the phone number. Yeah, we love them, but that love can become distorted. Eli was a priest who had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And they grew up and wouldn't listen to what he said. He had basically spoiled them. So when they grew up and they became priests, they started stealing from the offering. They started having sex with the women who worked in the temple. They were just a mess. And Eli finally said, you know, fellas, what y'all doing ain't so nice. And they kind of laughed at their father. And because they were his children, he didn't do anything to remove them. And not only that, they start saying, hey, Dad, here goes some of that extra stuff we got. So he started enjoying it and on the good part, too. And God said, why do you honor your children more than you honor me? In the same day, I'm going to wipe both of them out, and you are going to die as well. A misplaced love and devotion. Love your kids, do for them, but recognize your primary relationship is to God. Always to God. The third love we have that Satan uses is love for the approval of others. The Apostle Peter, he had been with Jesus since Jesus first called the disciples, and after Jesus had gone, Peter was one of the leaders in the church. Now, Peter was a Jewish Christian, and the Jews, they didn't have anything to do with people who were not Jews. They were all called Gentiles. You wouldn't even eat with a Gentile. You wouldn't go into a Gentile's home. And so God reveals to Peter that, Peter, not only do I love the Jews, I love the Gentiles as well. And I want you to accept Gentiles as Christians as well. So Peter gets this revelation from God. He says, okay, God, no problem. Peter goes over to the Gentile Christians' houses in Book of Galatians, and he's sitting down there eating food with them, and they just chilling out and having a good time. And then some of the big name boys who were Jews came down from Jerusalem. When they saw Peter, they says, man, what you doing eating with Gentiles? Peter, I just don't know. And when the Gentiles call it, Peter, you coming over for dinner? No, I can't do that. I just can't. And Paul comes in, he says, Peter, brother, why you being so two-faced? Before these big-name Jews came down from Jerusalem, you could eat with your brothers and sisters over here. You haven't been in that position. You done made friends with people that other people really don't care that much for. And y'all at school, y'all know how it is to have the popular group and the unpopular kids. And somebody say, why are you sitting over there at the table with them? And I didn't even see them sitting down over there. And you trying to move back over with the popular group, or at work? Why are you hanging around with them folks? ain't going nowhere. Why? We love the approval of others more than we love the approval of God. Somebody is always watching, always looking. You're always making a difference in somebody's life. I remember when I went home about 5 years ago, and one of my class childhood friends, his name was Willie. We used to call him Spooky. We used to call him Spooky. And Spooky, his family was so poor. I mean, they just didn't have anything. They were really, really poor. And my mother told him I was coming home. And so he came over, and we were talking. Hadn't seen Spooky since we were like in 10th grade, because he ended up dropping out of school. And he said to me, he says, you know, one thing I remember about you is that you always made me feel like I was just one of everybody else. And I almost started crying. He says, you know, we were so poor, but you were one of the ones that never made me feel like I was less than anybody else. And it's like, young people, you having an impact in somebody's life, and you don't even know it. Spooky didn't have to tell me that after some 35 years. But he remembered something I had long since forgotten. You know, if you want to stop Satan and his tracks, the key is found in the greatest commandment, in which Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and in Luke he says, and with all your strength. This really is the only way to guard our hearts. Because if we do not love God, we will love something. Because God created us to love, and God created us to be loved, and God is the only one that can fulfill both of those roles in our lives. We are told in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If you love the world, love for the Father is not in you. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful people, I gotta have it, I gotta have it, I gotta have more, the lust of their eyes, oh, did you see what I saw? Their boasting about what they have and do does not come from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. My friends, Jesus is still inviting people to give up their idols and come follow him. You see, Jesus alone is worthy of our full devotion. Why? Because he already gave his life for us. Jesus alone has the authority to forgive me of all my sins. How many of you are glad that Jesus doesn't demand perfection? You know that even when you mess up and confess up, you can still get restored all over again. How many of you know exactly where you're going to be a week from today? Is there anybody here who knows beyond a shadow of a doubt? Not a single one of us. Why would I trust my life to thee when I don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow? Jesus knows what's coming tomorrow, the week after that, the year after that. He already knows what it's going to bring. And Jesus alone has the power to defeat suffering and death. When he rose from the dead, that was proof death could not keep him down. And I think what impresses me the most is that Jesus knows absolute truth about me. How comfortable would you feel if everybody in here knew the absolute truth about you. Is there anybody here besides me that would be sneaking out the back door about now? Johnny's going to go with me. Marvin's going with me too. Jesus knows all that. And he still says, I love you. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. That's a love and a grace I cannot earn, and I certainly did not deserve. Jesus can give us the victory in the battle for our hearts if we but surrender ourselves to him. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah.